This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Padres are playing so well, the earth is shaking in Southern California. My goodness.
Hey-o.
Yeah, that was a gimme. I had to take that one. Welcome into Gwen and Chris, everybody, and happy Monday to you. As we set sail on another week, the Padres finished off the Rockies yesterday, get ready to take on the Chicago Cubs tonight. We welcome you into Gwen and Chris. Crisello here at the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, and Matt Scraby alongside here as well. We'll be hanging out with you until about 5:30. Then Sam Levitt has the Padre pregame show tonight. Tony and Jesse on the call of Padres baseball. Padres will look to stay perfect at home as they take on the Cubs this evening. Everybody have a good weekend. We had a great one, Tony, on especially Saturday night. I know the Padres, you know, it's a great weekend. We're going to talk plenty about it. But Scraby and I are not used to the
VIP
treatment. We're just not. I mean, you are, so this wouldn't have been much, you know, it would have been fun for you, but not the same. You're VIP to begin with. Scraby and I are basically second class.
Tony's shaking his head, by the way.
Right, yeah, I know. We're second class citizens.
Not VIP.
We're second class citizens. Everybody knows this. The Padres treated us, Scraby and I, and the rest of us here at the Odyssey Palace to just an incredible night. Out in the brand new entertainment suite, which is actually located behind Jason Hayward in left field.
Basically,
I felt like Scraby and I were playing left field the other night. And just want to thank Chris Connolly and the Padres for inviting us down. We had a bunch of people down there. And, I mean, we couldn't have had a better time. It was fantastic. The head executive chef, Chris,
Philip.
Yes,
it was Philip. Yeah. Oh, I kept calling him Bill. No wonder he was giving me a weird look.
Oh my
Chef,
gosh,
Phil! Thank you, Phil.
Oh no!
You get the face, taste this delicious food. You
this
over
is
here
the best food I've
Bill.
Ever had, Bill. And he's like, "Well, my name's not Bill."
Oh my gosh!
I can't wait till I see Philip come.
Oh yeah,
here.
Please tell him.
I'm definitely going to ask him about being called Bill.
It may have been some of the best food I've ever eaten.
It was incredible. I mean, trying to take the focus off my stupidity, but the lobster rolls. They got lobster rolls at Petco Park that are as good, if not better, than what I had in New England last year. Just incredible. And the stuff they laid out for us, I wish I could have eaten more, honestly. It was quite an evening. And there's only a couple of things I would have had a little better for us, Scraby. One is I wanted a longer game. Because when you get to sit in one of those incredible suites like that, you want the game to be like 3.5 hours. I know Tony didn't want that, but I did. I was rooting for, you know, one of these games where we're here all night. You know, just like I never wanted to go home. I was so happy. And it was a short game. And the other thing was, is that somebody could say that we only got to see one major league team play Saturday night. Because the other team that was in town this weekend, not so much. But we'll let them deal with what they have to deal with. We'll talk about the Padres rolling up a 13-3 record, Tony. 10-0 at home. 6 shutouts in those 10 games at home. And for the first time ever, they sweep an opponent. Not only did they not allow a run this weekend, they did not allow a single batter to reach third base. Wow. I mean, it was complete, total, utter domination. I could take that a step further. Only 4 Rockies even made it to second base, and 3 of those were Kyle Farmer doubles. So they completely shut them down, unlike anything I think I've ever seen over a 3-game span, Tony.
I only heard part of what you say. I'm right now. I've got my son here today.
Yeah, hey, Trey.
The Cubs are taking early BP. My man Quentin Berry took Trey to, so he's out here chasing these big league pop ups.
That's awesome.
And he caught his first one about 5 minutes ago.
Which he's
pretty excited about.
Yes, he should.
Now
be.
To your question, or to what you kind of were referring to in the who was that? The Rockies that was in town.
The domination. Yes.
I mean the Padres. A, took care of business like good teams do. That Rockies team was, you know, without Doyle, who was probably their best player.
Yeah.
They just aren't – they're not very good right now. And the evidence of that was the – I believe it was the first night, Goodman gets the catcher's interference, which would have been a double play and kept that inning – that inning would have ended –
yeah.
Instead, turn into a 5-piece on you. And that's what kind of thing that happens to bad teams, right? Give you a good example. Michael King in Oakland. Getting squeezed for most of that outing. As bothered as he was, he didn't really ever show it. Mustered up, got through what he could. Flipped that to last yesterday. Freeland getting squeezed. I think he had a right to be irritated. But his irritation unraveled on him,
yes,
and it
did.
Just seemed like he was never able to get composure. So much so on a bump play that is easily your Gold Glove third baseman's play. You try to make some, I don't know, backyard type of pickup throw to first. And if you guys could have paid attention to McMahon's face the whole time it was happening, it was just like, I've seen this before. This is irritating. Like, we're already losing. You're making this worse because you're frustrated. And it just, but to me, it was a really good display of two teams that are in completely different places right now in their processes of winning.
Yeah, well said, Tony. I mean, the biggest disappointment I had yesterday was that Michael King didn't pitch a no-hitter. And yeah. I mean, you can't normally say that about a major league game. But when you're watching the first 3 innings and they're making such soft contact, if they make contact at all, and through the 4th inning, 12 up, 12 down, nobody even hitting the ball. Finally, I think it was Tolia rolled one up the middle. That broke it up. But then after that, they didn't, you know, hit the ball for another 4 innings. So it was just, I mean, he was toying with them yesterday.
Think about the 2 no-hitters the Padres have had. What do they have in common in terms of the teams they were playing?
The teams were not good?
Yes, they weren't good from a standpoint offensively. Like I remember that Ranger game. They didn't have any plan. They were just up there hacking away. It was the same thing yesterday. Michael King could have certainly have, without that rollover, could have certainly found a way to go no.
Yeah.
Same thing for Ceases. They had no plan against Ceases. It was just like, man, let's go up here and just try our best today and get there. That's not going to get you a long way at the big league level. And so Padres took care of business. I think that, to me, that was the takeaway. That we've had this conversation too often about bad teams coming in and Padres not. There was no evidence of that in that 3-game series.
Agreed. Friday night, I mean, it was all Nick Pivetta. 3 hits, 7 innings. The main thing, 20 of 25 first pitch strikes. Randy Jones, If he said it a million times, he said it once, or the other way around. Best pitch in baseball is strike one. And Pivetta was in command. Saturday night, Fernando hits the first pitch of the game out of the ballpark. He catches the last pitch of the game to save the game in right field. Chris Bryant can't ever hit the ball, but he did that time. And, man, what a play Fernando made, because that ties the game if he doesn't catch it. They had two men on. So, I mean, you got to give Fernando the credit there. And then yesterday it's, you know, Michael King and, you know, the whole domination thing there. So, yeah, you're right, Tony. We've talked about it many Mondays. Like, that was a bad team. We should have won all three, or we should have taken two out of three. This Padre team is not messing around right now.
No, they're not. They're playing really good baseball, whether it's the starting pitching, you know, pitching so well here in San Diego, whether it's the offense. Yes, Toddy's off to a great start, but, you know, I think it's up and down the lineup. They're getting contributions from different guys, very similar to what they got last year from different guys. You know, you got some guys down on a night, or there's some guys flipping in there because it's a righty or a lefty. They do their piece, and ride the wave. I can't guarantee, I don't think anybody can say that this is going to last forever. It would be nice, don't get me wrong, but you know, you just enjoy the ride while you're on it.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in perspective, they're 13-3, so they're 1/10 of the way through the season. This projects to 130 wins, probably not realistic. So let's just have it while we can. And also, look, you're a game and a half on the Giants. The Dodgers have lost 6 of 9. Anybody upset about that? They're 2.5 back. So, you know, that's happened at the same time while the Padres are rolling. But tonight they get the Cubs, okay? The Cubs are they're a plus 43 run differential. That's best in baseball. Second place is the Padres at plus 30. So Cubs, you know, present a challenge. Let's put it this way, Tony. If they pitch three straight shutouts against the Cubs, then I think it's time we can, you know, start securing World Series tickets. So that's, you know, that what that happened was insane. But hopefully they keep it going. I mean, 6 out of 10 shutouts at home. And I think one last thing I wanted to mention as I steal everybody's thunder. I'm sorry about that. I'm so excited in the first segment today. They are not – usually when you win 13 out of 16, all systems are clicking. The Padres right now are without Jackson Merrill, Jake Cronenworth, and their number three starter, or maybe higher, Yu Darvish. So they're not even at perfect health right now, and they're doing this. So that is, to me, is another benefit of what we're seeing.
So I completely agree. This team is they're not at full strength, and so, you know, I think that's why you enjoy this, because it could get better. We'll see.
All right, we are underway. Obviously, a big weekend in sports. The Masters was thrilling, exciting. Unfortunately, you know, the wrong guy won. We'll talk about that as we go along a little bit.
I'm not taking the bait.
I know you're not.
Because we have to go to break.
It was Scraby's
favorite. That's his design.
Scraby's favorite golfer ever won the Masters. We'll talk about that. The NBA playoffs are set. The WNBA draft is tonight. So there's a lot happening, but we'll focus more Padres in hour number one. Megan Montemuro from the Chicago Tribune is ahead. Settling in with Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies. Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here at Petco Park. They're at the Odyssey Empire. Trying to snag a video of myself.
He's definitely being proud papa right now. I've been watching this all break. It's really funny. How's he doing out there?
He's hanging in there, man. He's hanging in there.
Now, he is how old now, Tony?
He is nine.
He's nine years old. He's out on a major league field, and he's trying to catch major league fly balls?
I mean, he kind of has the pedigree for that.
Yes, he does, but that's still pretty good.
That is very good.
Listen, at nine, you're not going to catch a lot. I remember that was the age my dad allowed me to come because that was the first time he felt like I could at least protect myself a little bit. Like
yes, that's what I'd be worried about. Yeah.
And so it took, you know, but I will say this. I don't know that I realized it at the time, but once you catch one of these, there ain't a little league ball. Oh, he caught another one.
There's I love this.
There is not a little league ball that will ever scare you ever again. And so you just kind of get used to the speed and, you know, and I think it helped me in a lot of different ways when I went back and I was playing with kids my age. So I'm hoping that he gets a little bit of that going today.
I don't know why I remember this, but I think it's, you know, catching fly balls can be a lifelong thing. When I moved to my new neighborhood in as a 10-year-old, Beverly Hills Little League, I had to try out for
hoity,
the Little League.
Hoity.
I know. Sorry. I am. And you know that's the way I am. I had to try out because they had a major league Little League and a little minor league Little League. So you had to show how good you were. And so all the new kids had to go out there and show what they could do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is assessments.
Right. And I knew I was good enough for the major league Little League. But the first fly ball they hit, I ran straight in, and it ran straight over my head.
You still remember it, huh?
I still remember it because I was like, please hit me another one, right? Because I thought that was it. You know, I was going to be doomed to the minor league segment forever.
Sprinting in and the ball was
right over. So, you know, this is a big thing for Trey to catch, like you said, catch a major league fly ball there. That's impressive.
When you're nine, it's a huge deal. Like,
it is.
Like, oh, my gosh, I just caught one of these.
It would be a huge deal if I caught
it. If they let Scraby and I go out and shag fly balls tomorrow,
we need to make this happen.
I'd be pretty excited to catch one myself. So.
I can't tell if it's embarrassing or if I'm just bad at baseball, but Chris has seen me drop a really easy fly pop up to first base. Basically, I dropped it.
It is embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing.
We definitely talked about that a couple times.
Yeah, there was another time where I played like hardball, like real adult league baseball, I guess is what you call it.
When was this?
Oh, years and years and years ago. Oh, okay. And I was actually pretty good. But the first fly ball that came out to me, I completely misjudged on the sky. And I ran so far in, and then I was like, wait, where'd it go? And it landed like 30 yards behind me.
Yeah.
But we were at the game the other night, and Chris and I were watching some of the pop flies and fly balls that were coming out to left field. And I'm like looking up there because we have the exact angle as the outfielder. It is so hard to find that ball in the clouds. I don't know how they do it.
It's a little different.
The clouds, you got that set of, in left field, you got the set of lights that are like right there coming out from the batter.
And let me tell you, the young Colorado left fielder made it probably more difficult than it actually was.
My man Zach Veen, there was nothing routine hit to him.
Nothing.
Like. Or he was not making it routine. That's for sure. I mean, he was on. I saw him on one knee at least three times on fly balls that weren't diveable plays. He had a couple where he ran in and had to kind of like jackknife himself to make the play
on
a routine fly ball.
He looked lost out there. Completely lost.
He did look a little lost.
I think, you know, and I know Brenton Doyle didn't play, so that's something because he's a good player. But a team that can't hit like that and a team that we know can't pitch and a team that has one of the worst bullpens ever assembled, It's early, Tony, but I think they're a threat to the White Sox record last year.
You think they're a
threat? I really do.
Huh?
And you know, not only
they're gonna have to get on some heaters here, and not the kind of good ones.
Right, they'll have to lose 15 in a row, which I think they can do. And the reason I think they can do it is because of the division they're in. Like, they just went to LA for the next three games, so they may not score for another 3 days.
LA probably might be a little angry right now too after getting
taxed
by the Cubs.
Yeah, hopefully. Oh, the Dodgers will be, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, look, the Rockies have to play all four teams in this division 13 times. That could be 50 losses right there. That was not a good-looking team. But, hey, Padres, so excited that they just, as you said, Tony, didn't worry about how bad the other team was. They just went out and won their games, and they won them, you know, except Saturday night, I guess, won them comfortably. And move on to the next one. That's what good teams do.
I mean, that's you say that, except Saturday. But even that game was comfortable. I mean, until the last.
You're right, because they never threatened. Yeah, right.
Yeah, until the last swing of the game that Toddy makes the play.
That's
true. That game was super comfortable.
Yeah, you're right. They were never in the game. Yeah, it was a weird weekend to be sure. But man, it's. It's been fun to watch this start. This ties what the best ever start, which is pretty good. 13-3.
That's pretty good. It's really good.
It's really, really good. Now, if you're looking for an amazing start, I've been thinking about the 84 Tigers. Now, people remember the 84 Tigers in the sense that the Padres played them that year in the World Series, but they did something that I don't think we'll ever see again. They started that season 35-5. So just imagine from here the Padres would have to go 22-2 to equal that.
I'll tell you what, if the Padres go 35-5, I will be okay with you guys doing some of the outrageous stuff you do. I shouldn't say you guys. I should say Scraby.
Doing the happy dance?
Doing his outrageous predictions from that point on. Like
35-5.
That's Detroit 84. That's
crazy.
That's high.
That is crazy. Lose one game, I guess.
No, they could go 22-2 from here.
They could go 22-2 from here.
22-2. Wow.
From here.
I mean, what's to stop them, really?
Probably the fact that they're playing some, you know, the Cubs are a little better than what they saw.
That Detroit series will be good, too, coming up here.
They're playing Houston.
Yeah, I don't worry about the opponents, though, right now, right, Tony? When you're playing well, you're just doing your thing, are you not?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that they should worry about them. I'm just saying, you know, you're not going to get to play the Rockies, you know, every day moving forward. So,
man,
you know,
be nice.
Like I said, if they pulled that off with the teams that they're about to play, because Detroit's not a slouch, Houston is a slouch, but you know the Cubs, they already beat the Padres 2-3, they ain't slouches. You run through a gauntlet of those type of teams, and you come out 35-5, I think we're going to have a different conversation. But I think
is there anything you've seen that you could even lean to right now to complain about if you're a Padres fan?
We have a Padres pen pal if you would like to save that aspect.
All right. Why? I assume that's going to be one of the questions then.
Yes, I don't.
Okay.
I ran it. You know, business is much better when the Padres are losing for Padres pen pals. When things are great.
Yeah, nobody wants to comment.
No, no one wants to comment. I think Trey just caught another one.
He did. Sorry.
Wait, who's hitting right
now?
Where is this on TV right now? Why am I not seeing this?
The Cubs are doing extra BP right now.
Gotcha.
So this is their BP before their BP.
No, all you're seeing, Chris, is this in the camera.
Oh, I see. Okay, so we know he's catching the ball. I got something that I'm excited about for tonight, though, guys. Dylan Cease makes his first start since shedding the beard.
Yes. His bare face makes its first start.
I think the Cubs could be in for a world of hurt tonight because I think Dylan's going to be feeling unencumbered out there. We'll see if that
face just going to cut through the wind all clean.
If that matters. And speaking of pitching, I've never seen it before from where we got to see it. But Robert Suarez's entrance in the ninth inning when they turn all the lights out and the people light up their phones. That give you shivers, especially where we were sitting out in left field, because I felt almost like we were running in, you know, we had that angle. That's pretty electric.
Sir, you have to go back to your seat. Chris is like,
I got excited
running
for
in.
A minute. I know.
I'm not going to lie.
That was really, really good.
Because I'm an old school Trevor Hoffman type.
Yeah, me too.
I was kind of hating early, like, this is all right.
Yeah.
But the more you're in the building, it's pretty cool, dog. They turn those lights off and those phones pop on.
And he goes running in, and then the funny thing is that the camera guy's running in behind him because he has to show us on TV what it looks like.
Hey, look, the cameraman in 2025, they got to be in shape because you got to make that run from the bullpen all the way to the mound.
That's a long run.
Well done.
It is a long run.
Maybe we should say one last thing. The entertainment suite where we got to sit is available moving forward for people who want to try to rent it for a party or an event.
I'm not going to lie. You guys look like you were having a blast over there.
Never wanted to leave.
We were
like
having a blast. I'm not going to lie
either. Mud and Don were broadcasting right above us because they were broadcasting from the Western
Supply. They look cold, though. You guys look like you were having fun.
Nah, we weren't
cold. They look cold.
Yeah, they did look cold because it was kind of chilly, but where we had a nice little warm area inside. Chef Phil came down and spoke with us.
You know, I'm going to go apologize to Bill myself.
His name is Phil.
I know. One of these days, you guys will get old enough to where Bill and Phil can sound the same, I guess.
You know what's funny? I actually heard you call him Bill, but I questioned myself. Did I actually hear him say it?
Maybe you got it wrong.
And so I didn't.
His name is Bill.
Yeah. No, I was like, did I hear? I'm not going to be the guy to tell Chris he said something wrong and But I should have.
Well, I will give everybody one tip. If you're out at the ballpark and you find the lobster roll, which they now have this year for the first, Latonia got his attention. Order a lobster roll.
I saw it on the pictures that y'all had with all that food. I definitely was like, I could use a lobster roll.
There's only one complaint I have, is that the lobster roll went so quick.
True.
That no one, I didn't get a lobster roll.
They had about 12 sandwiches of lobster roll.
Just seeing the vultures drooling around the food.
They went right away. Chef Phil, thumbs up all the way. But contact the Padres if you ever want to try that entertainment suite. You will have a night you will not forget.
You get a whole speech about how you have to watch out for balls in play because
the
Manny's
ball can come in there very easily. You're right behind the left field fence. You're on the field basically. It's an awesome experience.
And most people don't have a true appreciation for how quick that ball is moving. Like even a ball that is deemed hit like I don't know, let's say 75 exit velocity. That ball catches you like in the jaw or you know in the forearm. Like you can break something like that. So like. You got to pay attention. We're getting the break sound. So
signal. Yes, we have a break signal.
Padres.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
You want to take us a break? Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm not trying to take us to break. Anyway, go ahead, Tony.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Padres pin pal coming up next. More Gwynn and Chris.
Awkward.
All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Tony's having quite the afternoon. He's watching his 9-year-old son, Trey, shag fly balls out there. I'm excited about it, and I'm not even his father. So I imagine his father's really excited about it. Scraby's alongside. Padres, all is good, except, look, they've got injury problems, despite the fact this incredible start. We talked about Jackson Merrill won't be back till this weekend. Jake Cronenworth will be due back this weekend, but we don't know for sure if he'll be ready. Darvish is anybody's guess. And now Brandon Lockridge goes on the injured list. Strained hamstring yesterday, trying to run out of ground ball in the late innings. And he has been put on the IL. And finally, at long last, Poway's own and USD's own Connor Joe has been called to the big league club. So Padres making that move just a short while ago, and that comes in just ahead of tonight's lineup, which I think Scraby has handy over there.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
That. Fernando Tatis Jr. leading off, playing right field. Luis Arraez first base, batting second. Manny Machado third base, batting third. Gavin Sheets DHing, cleaning up. Xander Bogaerts shortstop, batting fifth. Jose Iglesias batting sixth, playing second base. Jason Hayward left field, batting seventh. T. Wade playing center field tonight, batting eighth. And then Martin Maldonado is catching, batting ninth. And we all know Dylan Cease on the mound.
All right, very good. So Tyler Wade gets a call in center field tonight. Tony, what do you, just real quick, you're a center fielder. I mean, you might be pressed into duty here if we're not careful. But do you think Wade plays the entire time in center field, or do they move Jason Hayward, who's played there before? I mean, they don't have a center fielder, at least until the weekend.
Oh, no, T. Wade's going to probably be the guy.
Okay.
Until he proves otherwise. You know, and I think he'll be fine. He's played the position before, and he understands it. I think he's kind of been one of those guys that plays multiple positions, center field being one of them. He played a little bit. He had one start out there last year, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that the Padres, this is the depth that we talked about throughout spring training, unfortunately, is being put to the test here pretty early.
Yeah.
And so you get an understanding of how good your depth is. And right now it's past all you know, tests. That being said, you're now into, you know, in terms of depth, you're now into the third, you know, third piece in center field.
Yeah.
You know, how do you start to see some effects of that? I think offensively you'll be fine. I don't think there's much of a trade-off between Brandon and Tyler in terms of offense and what you're getting. Now, Brandon's a true center fielder. And so, you know, the defensive side will be the thing that I think we'll be paying attention to. Outside of that, everybody else has held serve and some. Jose Iglesias has done a terrific job filling in for Jake Cronenworth. And it's hard not to think about the likes of Donovan Solano or David Peralta last year when no one expected anything from them. They came in and held the fort down and some. And that's, you know, so far, so good for the Padres.
Agreed, Tony, 100%. And now Connor Joe will get his shot. I imagine we'll see him in the lineup tomorrow night because I'm pretty sure Imanaga, the lefty, is pitching for the Cubs tomorrow. If I'm not mistaken. So that means Connor Joe would get the opportunity. All right. Scraby's got a Padre Pen Pals. Do you want to do that? Or do you want to, because I think if we get on the Masters right now, we may go on for 10 or 15 minutes and miss the Pen Pals. That's the only thing. I know you want to talk about Rory. You want to give a quick salute to him before you get to the Pen Pals?
Or do you want to get into the nitty gritty with your boy Rory?
Yeah. Let's you know, we could do pen pals later, Chris, because the pen pals.
See, this is how serious he is. This guy never wants to move his schedule. I said it's supposed to start at 2:30. It's into that, but today his boy won, so he's willing to call an audible.
You're also going to go down here for Mike Schilt, so I got to get your thoughts. Chris and I got to get your thoughts on the Masters.
Yes, but if Tony's not here for the pen pals, it loses a little steam, does it not?
I think we're I am stuck.
Everybody, why don't you move your daily gambit? We could talk about it the next segment.
Okay, there we go.
So we'll move the Masters talk to the top of the hour. Scraby, you can hold off for 15 minutes, we hope.
Yes, I can hold off for 15 minutes.
Look, everybody already knows who won the Masters. People want to know what we're going to do moving forward with the Padre Pen Pals.
You guys are correct. Just give me a second because I'm still trying to find the open.
Get it locked in, Scraby.
Things haven't gotten any better this week so far.
And you pushing the right buttons?
All right, here it is.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, a 97.3 The Fan.
Thank you guys for pointing me back in the right direction. This is obviously the right move to make right here. We have all day to talk about Rory McIlroy. But we can't say that we can talk about a 13-3 Padres team every single day. And let me tell you, it's been tough to find any sort of criticism out there, which is shocking, to be honest. Like, there's always something that these people pick out, and no one's picking out anything right now. So this is going to be a very, very positive Padres pen pal today. And we're going to start with this one. And Chris, you're going to be up first. We're going to start with the most negative question I got. And it starts like this. Man, the Padres are playing so well, not even the haters can say anything about them. However, if we're being super picky, where do you think they could tighten things up a bit, Chris?
Yeah, you got to be a little picky when you're 13-3. And I think when, you know, to me, the base running has been, you know, we talked about it, exemplary. Defensively, they've been great. Bullpen's incredible. You know, there's a couple of guys that are going to have to pick it up a little bit, and that's the only thing I could say. And I'm looking at the catching position, where I don't think Diaz is, you know, driving the ball the way I think he would like to. Maldonado's hitting about what I thought he would. In fact, a little higher. He's 290 with the one home run, but he struck out seven times. They're not getting much there. But most teams don't get much there. It's the nine hole. You know, Gurriel had a big hit yesterday, so maybe he'll, you know, get going. You're forcing me to find something. I would say right now their right-handed lineup against lefties is not scaring anybody at the moment. Although yesterday, first inning, they put four right up on the board. So, it's, you know, that could be even argued.
Yes.
So I'm going to leave it there because I can't find much.
All right, Tony, if we're being super picky, where do you think they could tighten things up a bit? He's trying to think.
When you say they, you're talking about as a team. I don't know that there's a place as a team. There are individuals that could pick it up.
Yeah, I think that's what
I don't know that they could do very much as a team.
Okay.
Like, I think because they're playing so well as a team, the individuals have more time to figure it out and buy themselves and figure it out and get to where they need to be because they're playing so well as a team. I don't even really want to. The catching is interesting because what you're not getting offensively, you definitely are getting on the defensive side. And I would argue that they have had some timely knocks, even Diaz to this point. He may not be hitting the ball the way he wants to, but he has certainly had some timely knocks. I guess the bench. I guess that could be the thing that you say could improve, but it's tough to argue that one, too.
Yeah. Yeah, things are going very well for
the
Padres.
We're on a 130 win pace. Like to, you know, if we were on a 140 win pace, I'd be a little happier, Scrave. I got to be honest with you.
All right, next one. Tony, you're up first on this one. Is it crazy for me to think Oscar Gonzalez is going to be a much bigger part of this team than he currently is? He's got power. He seems to take major league at bats. Do you guys think he's going to serve a much bigger role than he is already doing this season, Tony?
Yes, I'd say he'll end up having a bigger role than he has right now. He's right-handed. Chris already kind of highlighted the possible soft underbelly of the Padres. Their right-handed or their left-handed pitching lineup that they throw out there. He certainly could be a part of it. Now the question is, you know, where do you get that? You know, you have Jackson on the IL right now, which provides a spot to be open. That's where Oscar came in. He'll probably be able to I shouldn't say that. It'll come down between him and Connor Joe once Merrill comes off, right? Because, you know, at that point, I would assume Lockridge will still be on the IL. And so what does that look like? I think ultimately he does have a bigger role than he's had to this point.
All right, Chris, Oscar Gonzalez, do you think he's going to have a bigger role going forward?
I think it's going to matter what Jason Hayward does. I think it's going to be tied directly to that. And the reason I say I think for now and the foreseeable time, even though he hasn't really warmed up, you know, yet, Jason Hayward's still a veteran that, you know, probably is easing his way in a little bit. Swung the bat, you know, with the nice home run the other night. My point, he's going to continue getting the starts in left field against right-handers. I think Oscar Gonzalez will get his chance against lefties. If Jason Hayward doesn't keep up his end of the bargain, then you might see Oscar get some more chances against right-handers. So I think it kind of depends on Hayward. That's the way I'm looking at that.
All right. The next one we actually had, we already answered the question, but we can still talk about it. The question was short and simple. When is Connor Joe going to be brought up? So he's going to be brought up
today.
So everybody predicted that right. But Chris, you're up first. What do you think Cotter Joe? I'm coming up with a question off the top of my head. What do you think Cotter Joe is going to provide for the Padres?
Well, I think he's going to come in and hit. He'll play tomorrow. I think, like I said, against Imanaga, anything less than a two home run game would be disappointing for me. No, I don't know. I think he's going to contribute. I think Cotter Joe. We talked about the depth. People are concerned about the Padre depth coming into the season, but what they didn't look at is the depth beyond the depth. Right, the guys they sent to them. I mean, still Edgy's still down there. Tirso Ornelas is still down there. A couple of other guys. The other guys have come up a little earlier. I don't know that they've yet decided on who the real four or five bench guys are going to be. But I like it because of the injuries that a lot of guys are getting an opportunity right here to find out. So I think I like Cotter Joe. You know that. So
yeah.
I think he hits against lefties. I think he can play some first base if Gurriel doesn't get going. So I think he provides a valuable commodity. And hopefully, having him start the year in the minors,
gave him a spark?
Gets him a little spark, yeah.
So I'm looking at his stats in the minors for El Paso so far this year. He's hitting .240, .697 OPS. Numbers aren't eye-popping, but I know what they say about numbers. I can't take anything from them.
Not those.
Tony, what you got on Cotter Joe? How's he going to help this team?
I think we'll see. I think, obviously, there's a comfort level with Cotter, right? Because he's a big leaguer. He's been up here. He's done it. But it all ultimately boils down to what the production is on the field. He gets a fresh start, right? Clearly, I can speak from my own experience being sent down when maybe you expect it to be on the big league team. You go down there and you answer, you like, I want to start hot. I'm trying. And that a lot of times leads to you starting slow. And so I won't hold him to the .240 that he's hitting there, because I know what it's like when, I don't want to say blindsided, but when you had expectation of being somewhere and doesn't go that way, it does take a little second to kind of redirect your focus. And when you do, you want it so bad, sometimes you can, press too much. So I think ultimately the play will decide it, right? I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember who it was that came up a couple years ago. Remember when Azokar came up? Like, his play, I don't know that he had intentions to staying at the – are you okay, Scraby?
I'm trying to think of who it was.
Did you hurt yourself over there?
I said Azokar.
Oh, but yeah. Okay. Sorry.
You all right?
I'm fine. Yes. I thought you were looking for someone else that came up, and I was trying to
wrap
my brain.
No, it was him. He came up a couple years ago. There was no, I don't know that there was intention for him to stay, but his play led to him staying pretty much the whole year that season. It's the same thing for guys coming up. Your play is going to dictate most of the time how long you get to stay.
And they have guys that can replace you if you're not producing, which I think is good. The Padres have the competition among those guys, which is normally drives people to perform a little better.
All right. I'm okay, guys. I promise.
You just look like you might have been having a stroke dinner.
I can see why that makes you think that. I was really thinking.
Yeah, like one eye closed.
All right, here's some just fun ones to close it out. But this person said, I've been posting the standings every day the Padres are in first, and I'm getting pushback from some of my friends. They're saying it shows weakness to gloat over things like this early into the season. Tony, do you think it shows weakness to keep pointing out the pathetic Dodgers are in third place?
I don't think it points out weakness. It just leaves yourself open to, catch one later on. You know what I'm saying? Like, what happens if the standings all of a sudden flip after a week? As long as you keep posting it, then it's all good. I don't think there's any problem. But if you're only going to post the days that they're first, you just open yourself up to being ridiculed at some point down the line.
Yeah. Chris?
And by the way, if you have thin skin and you can't take it, can't take that type of deal,
mm-hmm.
You probably shouldn't be out there posting and doing this.
Stay off the interwebs. Chris, do you think it shows weakness to keep pointing out the Dodgers in third place?
No, it doesn't show weakness, but please stop doing it. Why? I can't stand stuff like that. I get nervous. Look, when
get
I have a
nervous,
not nervous, but I think the game's not over. You don't tempt fate, especially when it's the Dodgers. We know how good they can be. You know, when the Dolphins are leading 28-0 at halftime, I still think they can lose.
Joe Musgrove's throwing a baseball right now.
Ooh, he threw. That's awesome.
Warming up, doing a little warm up. No, that's fine. Now, I'm just saying, when my team's up 28 at halftime, I still think they could lose. If the Padres are up 10 games going into September, I'm still going to think it could happen. Until they, you know, put an X next to your name or clinch something. Stop it with this. Dodgers are in third.
Knock it
depressing
off.
Knock it way off. Of living.
Sorry, that's how I live, baby.
Depressing.
Yes.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know you.
I'm waiting for the bad stuff to happen, everybody.
And you know what? When you root for your team, if they make a first down, you start boasting as if the game is over.
Yeah,
and that's why you're annoying as hell.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't know where to go with that, so I'm just going to move on to our last and final question. Okay. You guys talk about the Padres and their approach when hitting. I am somewhat new to baseball. Chris, you're up first on this one. In the most normal person explanation possible, what is their approach?
The Padres?
Yep.
I think hit the ball where it's pitched.
Explain.
All right. I'm trying to be as simple as possible. If you're a right-handed batter and you're looking in from center field, you're watching the game, there's a right-hander like Manny, somebody's up at bat. If the pitch is coming to the inside, then pull it to the left field. If the pitch is coming toward the middle of the plate, send it back to the middle. And if the pitch is headed to the outside part of the plate, send it to right field. That's as simple as I can make it. I don't know if it's that simple to them, but that's what I would look for.
Okay. Tony, how can you explain the Padres' approach in simple person and normal person explanation? Not the other way around.
It's simple person.
Not that one.
I think Chris is a good, that's an accurate way. Yeah. I would add that they are trying to hit line drives from the left center field gap to the right center field gap. That also is added to that philosophy, hit the ball where it's pitched.
All right. That's it for Padres Pen Pals. When we get back, I believe we're going to talk a little Masters.
Can't wait.
You sound like it. Next on 97.3 The Fan.